Beloved, there you are. Welcome to this online service today. We're very glad that you can join us. As you can see, Jesus' table is set for communion later in the service, and you are welcome. It is set for you. So, if you have not already prepared the elements of either bread or crackers, and some wine or juice, go ahead and pause this recording now to get those ready. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? As we continue our Lenten journey, we strive to be faithful and turn back to God. It is God who guides us on the path of righteousness. Even at our best, we struggle to be worthy disciples. It is God who guides us on the path of righteousness. Let us come with open hearts to worship the one true God, by being vulnerable and honest with Him and ourselves, God can make us clean and guide us in His ways. It is God who guides us on the paths of righteousness. If you light a candle when we come to worship, let's join together in doing that now. Let us pray together. Loving God, how lavishly you pour out the costly gift of your grace upon us. Fill our homes and our lives with the fragrance of your love, so that we may show your glory and serve your people. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's say the prayer of confession together. Gracious God, it grieves us deeply that we are not more courageous or committed in following your will. But let the least threat of sacrifice frighten us into inactivity or onto some safe path. Forgive us our lack of courage and commitment, O God. Set before us the example of Jesus, and fill us with the strength of your Spirit, so that we may be true-hearted, whole-hearted, faithful and loyal disciples and servants. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Friends, while it is true that we have all sinned, it is a greater truth that we have been forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ. To all who humbly seek the mercy of God, I say, in Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven. This is good news. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen. It is a Communion Sunday, and as we do on Communion Sundays, we are going to proclaim our faith together. So will you join me now in saying together the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Good morning. Our reading today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before Passover, Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus, so recently raised from the dead, was living. Lazarus and his sisters invited Jesus to dinner at their home. Martha served. Lazarus was one of those sitting at the table with them. Mary came in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oils, anointed and massaged Jesus' feet, and then wiped them with her hair. The fragrance of the oils filled the house. Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, even then getting ready to betray him, said, "Why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? It would have easily bought 300 silver pieces." He said this not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was a thief. He was in charge of their common funds, but also embezzled them. Jesus said, "Let her alone. She's anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You don't always have me." This is the word of the Lord.
Have you ever walked into a room and immediately realized that there was a lot going on there and you seem to have wandered into the middle of it all? Well, if we were able to jump back in time to this evening we've just heard about at Lazarus's house, I suspect we would have exactly that feeling, because there was a lot going on in that room that night. The air in there would have been absolutely thick with drama and emotion. Jesus was staying with his good friends, Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha, which was not unusual. He would go and stay with them when he was in Bethany. But this particular visit would have been especially special, because the last time they had been together, Jesus had actually brought Lazarus back to life after he'd been dead for 4 days. Jesus had quite literally turned their mourning into dancing. So you can imagine how excited they must have felt at being able to be with him again. Well, mixed in with that excitement would also have been a reality that everyone there would have been aware of. When Jesus had raised Lazarus from death, he had effectively painted a target on his own back. That miracle actually set off a chain of events that would eventually lead directly to the cross. Many people had seen and heard what Jesus had done, and as a result, they were starting to believe in him and follow him. And that was a problem for some of the religious leaders. In order to be able to have the temple and the life that revolved around it, the temple authorities had come to an understanding with their Roman occupiers. But it was an understanding that was built on pretty shaky ground, and Jesus' growing popularity was threatening to undermine that. Well, the high priests and the others decided that they couldn't risk that happening, and so they made a plot to kill Jesus, and then gave orders for anyone knowing of his whereabouts to report them. Well, with that, Jesus and his disciples withdrew to a more remote place for a while until it was time for him to face them. His arrival here in Bethany, just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, signaled that Jesus was actually done waiting. His time was near, and everyone in the room that night would have known that it meant that Jesus was now clearly in danger. The next day, he would enter Jerusalem in a very public way that no one could miss. Nobody would need to report his whereabouts. Everybody would know them. With that display, he publicly announced to his opponents that he was ready to face them and to face whatever they had planned. So on this evening at this dinner party, the air would have been filled with much more than just the fragrance of that perfume that Mary poured on Jesus' feet. There would have been this sense of danger lurking just outside the doors. And there was Lazarus's family's excitement at Jesus being with them again. And there was their deep, tangible love for him, a love that was expressed so differently by each of those siblings. Lazarus, well, he seemed to just be relishing sharing a table with Jesus. But his sisters expressed their love in more active ways. True to form, Martha seemed to feel the need to ensure that all of her guests' needs were met. So, as was her way, she was busy taking care of everyone. Well, as a person who often expresses my love with acts of kindness, I have some affinity with Martha, and I find myself really glad that she was able to serve him on what, as far as we know, was probably the last time he shared a dinner with them in their home. For Martha, there certainly was a sense of a duty to ensure that her guests were taken care of. But mixed in with that duty was a whole bunch of her own love for Jesus. It was more subtly expressed than her sister's more overt devotion, but it was love all the same. Which brings us to Mary. Pouring that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wiping it with her hair was, without question, an expression of her devotion to her Lord. However, had we been there, we probably would have noticed the charge that was added to the air in that room when she did that. Judas certainly did. As we heard, he objected. He declared the whole act as wasteful. He rather piously proclaimed that they really should have sold the perfume and given the money generated to the poor. But as John explains, Judas's motives weren't as pure as he let on. He was actually in the habit of helping himself to some of the money from the disciples' common purse that he was in charge of. So in reality, it wasn't piety or a real concern for the poor that made him criticize Mary's rather extravagant act of love. It was his own deception and greed. Now, without question, Judas is certainly the person in this scene that is cast in the darkest light. But it should be said that he was not the only person there who likely had an issue with Mary's display. There was an extravagance to the act that involved far more than just the value of the perfume that she used. First of all, having her pour it on Jesus' feet would have made people uncomfortable. Everyone with any cultural sensibility knew that it was only the lowest of servants who tended to a guest's feet. There would be a significance to Mary kneeling at Jesus' feet that would become obvious just a few days later when everybody watched Jesus kneel at their feet. But remember, at this point, that life-changing experience has not happened. So on that night, most, if not all of the other guests, probably just felt uncomfortable watching her. First, because she was tending to his feet, but even more because she wiped them with her hair. Now, for us, that detail just seems a bit strange, but for those watching, it would have seemed completely inappropriate. After all, a woman really only took her hair down generally in the privacy of her own home when she was alone with her husband. It was an act of incredible intimacy, and that itself would have had another layer to the feelings that were swirling in this room. Some might have felt embarrassed to see it. Others probably judged it. Maybe even for some, they had that sense of seeing something they shouldn't be seeing. On that evening, no one but Jesus picked up on how entirely appropriate Mary's actions actually were. Whether she consciously knew what she was doing or not isn't clear to us, but Jesus could see it. People were anointed for two reasons, either for honor or for burial. When you anointed someone for honor, you started with their head. But when you were anointing them for burial, you started at their feet. Which makes us wonder if Mary maybe knew what was coming. Was her devotion actually tinged with an anticipation of grief and loss? Perhaps. After all, that was also the only other reason a woman really let her hair down. Women who were distraught in grief sometimes did that. It was an expression of mourning. So as Jesus knows, what Mary was doing was entirely appropriate, because very soon he would be gone. There was excitement, devotion and love, duty, a sense of service, embarrassment and danger, deceit and greed, and thanks to Jesus' cryptic comments, also a sense of a looming darkness. There was a lot going on in that room that night. Everyone had their own stuff going on. And as we who know what was coming can see, there would have also been a lot going on all around them. It was a complicated evening, full of complicated, imperfect people with imperfect hearts and motives and ways. And where was Jesus? Good question to ask. Where was he? He was right there in the middle of them, in the middle of it all, well aware of all that was going on. He knew his time was short. We know by his comments that night that he knew he didn't have much longer to live. He was preparing himself for the cross. And still with all of that before him, where did he choose to be on that night? Right there with his friends, with them all, in the midst of all of their complexity and imperfection. And I find that incredibly encouraging. You know, so often we wonder where God is in the hard stuff of life. Well, this scene, and in fact, all of the stories of Jesus' life that we read in the Gospels, they point to the same answer to that question. The reality is that in Christ, God moved decisively to always be with us, no matter what life brings. So where is he when life appears to be unraveling? He's right here. He's with us in the midst of it, in the middle of our imperfections and our complexity. He's right here, living out his promise to bring us through it all to life and to life abundant. Amen.
Loved by your wondrous love, cradled in arms so strong, before the world began, before the stars were spun, radiant.
Loving and gracious God, we offer praise and glory to you this day for being the one who is love in all of its goodness, mercy, compassion for each of us flawed beings. We are grateful that we are so loved. In this time of Lent, open our hearts to what parts of ourselves need to be modified, that we may serve you better. You encourage us that this is possible. It is often difficult for us to change our paths to a healthier one of goodness. Help us to recognize and share where we need forgiveness in order to move forward. These are times where there is much that changes, and yet we are called to be steadfast in your loving ways. We continue to pray for healing for those who are vulnerable, those who are struggling with addiction, such as prescription drugs, black market drugs, alcohol, work, nicotine, play of any kind that interferes with the love of family and community. We pray for peace wherever there is conflict, but in particular the Ukraine. We pray for protection of all civilians who are caught up in these wars. We pray for spiritual as well as physical protection for all who are trapped in chaos, whatever their circumstance. We pray for wisdom and compassion for all of the world's leaders, even those who are living in darkness. Open their hearts to move forward in the light of your love. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Friends, we've just been listening to the story of a night when Jesus gathered at the table with some of his dearest friends and welcomed them all. And here we are, gathering at Jesus' table. And we are his friends, and we need to know that he welcomes us all here at his table. So, come, let's join in the meal. The Spirit of God be with you, and also with you. Turn to God, the source of life. We lift our hearts in prayer. Let us give thanks. We offer joyful thanks to God. Creator of light, giver of all life, source of love. From the dust of the earth, you created us in your image. From the bondage and slavery, you delivered us. Through all our wilderness wanderings, you guide us. You call us to renewal and repentance, to justice and compassion, to healing and wholeness. We thank you for sending us Jesus, your chosen one. He lived and loved this human life, taking upon himself our suffering and sorrow, being tested as we are tested, and reaching out to broken victims of the world's brokenness. In him we come to know your truth, to feel the life that is Christ within us. So it is that through these Lenten days and nights, we worship you and bless your name. Lord of lords, creator of all things, nature gives thanks, your creatures give thanks, your praise rises in us like the great river. God of all things, creator, provider, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. As we gather at this table, we remember that on the night before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends. He took a loaf of bread and thanked you as we have thanked you, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Each time you do this, remember me." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, passed it to his friends, saying, "Drink. This cup is the promise of God made in my blood. Each time you drink from this cup, remember me." Eternal God, we unite in this covenant of faith as we break bread and share the cup, giving thanks for your love in Jesus the Christ. We spread your table with these gifts of the earth and of our labor. We present to you our very lives, committed to your service on behalf of all people, and proclaiming the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. God, send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this offering of your church, that we who eat and drink at Christ's table may share in his life. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your realm where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Praise be to God, the source of love. Praise be to Christ, love incarnate. Praise be to the Spirit, love's power. Praise be to God. Amen. Let's say together the prayer Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you now to consume the elements with Jesus at the table he has prepared in your home. Now let's pray together the prayer after communion. Life-giving God, may we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring new life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so that we and all your children shall be free, and all creation will live to praise your name. Amen.
Your faith and your faithfulness in giving to the needs of this congregation and God's work within this congregation are greatly appreciated. Would you join me in saying the offertory prayer today? Lord, accept these gifts as tokens of our allegiance to the building of your kingdom. Use them to alleviate the physical and spiritual hunger of the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we approach Easter, we have a number of announcements this week. First of all, the happenings for Holy Week. On Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we will have the chapel here open at the church from 1 p.m. through to 3 p.m. on each of those three afternoons. And in the chapel, we will have some self-guided meditations that you can work through on your own at your own pace. So I encourage you to take some time in those days to quiet yourself a bit and to more intentionally connect with Christ as we join him in making our way to the cross through that week. On Monday, Thursday, we will be gathering here in the sanctuary for an in-person service at 7 p.m. If you are living somewhere else and you're not able to be with us here in person, I would encourage you to find a Monday, Thursday service close to you. Monday, Thursday is the night we remember Jesus gathering together with his disciples. And so if we're able, and this year we are, it is something that we really want to do in person. There will not be an online service for Monday, Thursday this year, but there will be for Good Friday, as well as an in-person service here at 11 a.m. on Friday morning of Holy Week. And of course, Easter Sunday, we will gather for two services to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Which also reminds me, the Sunday before Easter, Palm Sunday, April 10th, will be the first Sunday that we gather in person for two services here once again since the pandemic began. So we will meet at 9 and at 11 with our various musical leadership in the way that we used to do. And I hope that we will see lots of you out for those. There will be a study happening after Easter, starting up actually in the last week of April. It's called One at a Time. It's very accessible. You don't have to do any homework or pre-reading or even own a book. It's really just an opportunity to come, have a bit of fellowship together, watch an intriguing video, and then have some discussion based on that. It will happen on Tuesdays. We had thought it would be the evenings, but we're wondering if that actually is the best fit for the most people. So instead of committing to a time, if you're interested in the study and you may have some time on Tuesdays, would you call the office and register? And Adele will ask you what's your preferences, afternoon or evening. And then once we get a sense of things with people, we'll make a decision about the time and let you all know. And finally, I want to thank everyone for the prayers that you offered for the board this week as we went to our board retreat last Monday. The retreat was a really good day. Time well spent. I think everyone there thought that. It was hopeful. It was encouraging. It was really honest and real and authentic. And the board really gelled. It was one of our best retreats. And we all came away quite excited, I think, about this next chapter of life at St. Stephen's. We also all came away feeling deep gratitude for the life we know here and for the faithfulness that you all have shown to the work and the ministries of this congregation throughout this most difficult 2 years. So thank you for your faithfulness to us over time, and thank you for the prayers as we went into that retreat. You will be hearing lots coming up in the future as a result of the work we did on that day. Friends, go now in the righteousness of faith. Let nothing claim your devotion above the Lord, and count nothing of value above knowing Christ. Press on towards the ultimate prize of being one with Him. And may God's perfect love revive your soul. May Christ Jesus be your rock and your Savior. And may the Holy Spirit strengthen you to press onward. Go now in peace to love and serve the Lord. Go now in the name of Christ. Amen.
Washing over my feet. Blessed are you, beggar, hopeless and blind, calling for mercy when I'm passing by. Blessed are you, shaking your head at two tiny fish and some bread. Blessed are you as you tremble and wait
for the first stone thrown at your sinful disgrace. Tell me your story. Show me your wounds, and I'll show you what love sees when love looks at you. I'll show you what love sees when love sees you. Blessed are you walking on waves to find yourself sinking when you look away. Blessed are you lepers standing alone. The fear on their faces is all that you've known. Blessed are you lonely widow who gave your last shiny coin to Yahweh. Blessed are you with your silver and lies, kissing the one who's saving your life.
When I see you.